Central Lakes College in Brainerd will present Climate Chaos in Minnesota tomorrow at noon, April 4th, at the Chalberg Theater. Speaking will be the Department of Natural Resources Senior Climatologist Kenneth Blumenfeld. The event is free and open to the public. And we have Kenneth Kenny on the air with us. Which do you prefer, Ken?
I go by Kenny. Thank you.
All right. Well, Kenny.
Ken is like another guy. If someone says, "Hey, Ken," I don't look.
Yeah.
Like, will you talk? Someone say something?
Yeah. You can if you want to.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's great to have you with us, Kenny. I am talking to you. I'm John Latimer. Heidi Holton is with us, and Bob Consemius. And I think that you and Bob are at least associates and practicing the same sort of witchcraft. So
I wouldn't call it witchcraft. Some people would, I suppose.
Well, tell us a little bit about your talk tomorrow, Climate Chaos in Minnesota. That sounds ominous.
Yeah, I have to admit, I didn't name that. But basically what we're going to do is talk, you know, I'm just trying to get people to a common understanding of what is and what is not happening with Minnesota's climate. There's a decent amount of confusion out there for any of a number of reasons. I think some of it has to do with people using different sources of information, whether it's, you know, their favorite radio station, or whether it's a scientific journal, or whether it's, you know, some documentary that they've seen. People have a lot of different information that helps them, or in some cases doesn't help them, understand what's really going on with climate in Minnesota. And a lot of what people have heard actually doesn't apply here. It's global in scope. And so the purpose of this talk is really to help people get a common understanding of what the science actually tells us about what's going on with the climate in Minnesota. And it's beyond just the science of peer-reviewed journals, because in some cases, peer-reviewed journal articles don't actually cover some of the questions we have. And so at the State Climatology Office, we've done a lot of extra digging into high-quality data sources to try and answer some of those questions that haven't yet made it into, say, peer-reviewed journals. So in any case, the point is, talk to people about what's going on with the climate in Minnesota in terms of changes, trends, what's not changing, and then talk a little bit about what the future may hold as we look at the science of climate projections.
Yeah, so I don't know if you heard, we were on here just a few minutes ago talking about some of the one topic we get into is the variability of, let's say, the interannual variability of the seasonal temperatures. So we had a plot. We're looking at the spring average temperatures. So if you just take the mean temperature for March, April, and May, as a spring season, meteorological spring, and you plot that from year to year. We came up with a plot from the Grand Rapids station here. It's on the Itasca Community College campus. And if you select the data period from 83 to 2000 through 2014, you can see you plot a trend line through it. It's no trend. And, but if you choose a much longer period of record, then the trend is there. So, but the point I often try to communicate to people, at least locally here, is how to, you know, there's a lot of year-to-year variability, even some decadal variability. And it's just a matter of separating that out from the more long-term climate signal. Do you have similar experiences? Or?
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the points I try and make that, variability does not negate or somehow disprove a trend, and also vice versa. I mean, I think we all know that this idea of climate change has turned into a bit of a political factional fight. And the people on either side of the issue can easily misuse variability and trends. They can use them against each other so that, you know, for example, it's really cold this week, so it's obviously a moment of high variability in terms of cold. You know, we're at a moment of high variability. It's much lower than the trend or even the climatology would suggest it should be, and that doesn't negate the trend itself. And then similarly, when we have, you know, this long-term trend, you can't, any instance of a really warm day or a warm week or a warm year, that doesn't necessarily prove the trend. And there are, and when you look at the data, you find trends in some areas and not others. And I thought it was interesting, Bob, that you mentioned sort of spring. We are seeing a lot of variability in spring, and that might have some of the reason have something to do with the sort of lack of trend that you're seeing for that period of record. I think if you looked at something like the lowest temperatures of winter, the 15 lowest temperatures of winter at the same site, I think you would see a trend over that period. So it also depends on what variables you want to look at.
Yeah. Yeah, I've looked at wintertime temperatures, and that seems to increase. You know, those seem to increase in the 90s a bit more here. And you know, there's a lot of surprises when you look at year to year at some of the data. I would never have guessed if you asked me 10 years ago the year 2014, you know, the 2013-2014 winter, that would sit so low in our distribution of wintertime temperatures.
Yeah. Oh, I never would have guessed it either, and I didn't hear what you guys were talking about previously because I was actually listening to you guys talk about the definitions of January thaws on an older older podcast. So I understand that you guys do occasionally what we in the business call nerd out. So I'm just going to say,
please join us.
Yeah. So the 2013-14 winter for people who don't remember, that was the infamous polar vortex winter. And when we looked at it, if you compare it to the previous 30 winters and then just run that same kind of analysis backwards through history at all the stations in Minnesota that have the long records, long enough to do it, so you can basically do, it's a comparison of standard deviations to those previous 30 winters. And when you look at that, the 2013-14 winter was hands down the most abruptly cold winter on record in Minnesota with respect to those previous 30 years. So in other words, if you just sort of run a 30-year slider through time, and that sort of 30 years gives you a sense of what the climate is like, you would be most surprised by the 2013-14 winter in terms of cold, and that was statewide. And the funny thing about that was 2 years earlier, the 2011-12 winter was the most abruptly warm winter on record. So that's fascinating nerdery for those of you who can handle that.
You know, Ken, I've been keeping phenology records in the Grand Rapids area since 1984, and part of the reason for our looking at the last 30 years was that my phenology records, though quite variable, don't really establish a trend one way or the other. My lament is that I didn't start when I was, 10 years old, because then I would probably see some trends in some of the things that I've been observing. But it's really interesting to see and to hear you say the 13 and 14 and then 11 and 12, because until 2013, my bookends were 1987 and 1996. And then my bookends became 12 and 13. Which is really odd. I mean, if I look for my earliest events in spring and my latest events in spring, they fall into either spring of 2012 or spring of 2013, though spring of 2014 had some overlap there where there was a couple that kind of flip-flopped. But basically, 12 and 13 are my bookends now.
Yeah, we see the same thing with ice outs, at least for the ice out. The lakes that don't have a particularly long record, so the lakes that only have 30 years or so, maybe 40 years, we see that a lot of times that their latest ice out was 2013, and their earliest was 2012. That's fairly common in central and northern Minnesota for some of those shorter record lakes. Once you get to the longer record lakes, of course, you know, you have the ability to find some earlier and later dates. But that's an interesting observation.
Yeah. I was looking at records. I mean, back in the 2013 winter, it seems like the ice out process didn't even start until, I'd say, April 26th or something, when the snow finally melted in earnest. And I look back at the records and say, Winnebagoshish, beat, I think, 20. You know, if you looked at 1950, that beat 2013 by a few days.
Sure. Yeah, that was 1950. I don't remember it because I wasn't around yet, but that seemed like a brutal winter in terms of ice. And we did a little story last year about, and we've been starting to get a lot of calls here in our office about, you know, is there going to be ice on some of these northern lakes for the opener? And although, of course, we can't answer that, but you know, there's some instances of ice on the lakes during the opener, and, you know, 1950 is certainly one of them.
Yeah, we had that in 2013, we had ice on the opener here, and almost got into the next weekend, too. So, odds are still kind of, it seems like low to me, because we don't have March, you know, May 12th very often at Pekegaba Lake here. But we don't have that long of a record either, so.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, I certainly the conditions right now aren't helping in terms of moving ice off the lakes.
Nope.
You guys going to go below zero tonight?
We may. It's one, I think, is the forecasted low, but, you know, if you get out of town a little ways, I'm sure that somebody will be minus.
Town seems to stay warmer than a lot of other areas around here.
So. We're sitting in a beautiful snow globe right now, Kenny. I don't know if you are in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, we're in a winter storm warning here in the Twin Cities. So we've got right now it's just snowing kind of lightly, but there's a couple new inches on the ground, and it looks like I would say, a few inches, and it feels more like a February day than a April day.
Boy, does it ever.
Well, this conversation will continue tomorrow in Brainerd, Climate Chaos in Minnesota with Kenny Blumenfeld. It's at the Chalberg Theater at Central Lakes College at noon, and it's free and open to the public. Hope we can talk to you again sometime, Kenny.
Yeah, wonderful. It's great talking with you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
Thank you, Ken.
Thanks.